on your local radio station. We are ESPN Blacksburg, and a good Thursday afternoon to all of you. My name is Paul Van Wagner. Nathan Brennan in the other studio is taking your calls at 866-961-1430. 866-961-1430. You can also text us. The Berkman Financial text line is open and ready to serve you. If you need short-term small business financing, email Danny at berkmanfinancial.com today. That's Danny at berkmanfinancial.com.
Come. Can't keep my hands to myself.
You like that? No, you like that?
I'm trying to.
Scott Nason.
I'm so excited.
Scott Nason.
Scott.
I love Scott. Like a love song, baby.
Scott Nason.
Yeah, I don't get any more on weekdays.
Scott Nason. Scott Nason.
Absolutely, let's go.
Scott Nason joining us today. How are you, my man?
Doing wonderful, Paul. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Snow on the ground here in northern Michigan, but you always warm my heart anytime I'm on your show. So, hey, we're doing good here.
Well, I appreciate the fact that I can warm the cockles of your heart. Scott Nason, NFL draft is exactly 1 week from today. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we do know that players are going to be selected, and therefore they will be tethered to teams that may or may not use them properly, and it's just this whole constant thing. You and I are going to talk a little bit today about the NFC North division, a division that we are very familiar with. First and foremost, Scott Nason, going into the season, prior to the draft, if we have a full NFL season like normal, where do you see this division kind of stacking up as far as playoff teams, teams that miss the playoffs, teams getting better, teams getting worse? Like, how do you kind of see the NFC North stacking up?
Kind of hard to say right now, Paul. We'll know more, I think, after this upcoming NFL draft, which any sort of live sports we're all really itching for. So I'm very excited for the draft. Going into last season, I really thought the Packers had a chance to win the division. I know a lot of people were picking Minnesota, some were going Chicago, and I kind of feel that way now. Green Bay, you know, making it all the way to the NFC title game. Obviously, they have some defensive issues to address, but I think they will address some of those as much as they can in the draft in the offseason.
Right.
So I'd have to say right now, if there's a team I'm looking at as the favorite, and I wouldn't say heavy favorite by any stretch, it would be Green Bay, you know, Minnesota. Kirk Cousins got that monkey off his back as far as, you know, winning a playoff game. Obviously, they're going to have a little less offensive weapons, losing one of their big receivers there. And, you know, Chicago, I think, is the big question mark as far as, you know, Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, you know, which one's going to get the starting nod. Obviously, that defense is still impressive. And then there's Detroit, which you never know what's going to happen as far as predictions. You know, I really don't know what to make of that team. I've pretty much had it trying to figure them out. I wouldn't say they're going to be 3-12-1 this season, but I would say 9-7 is also a stretch. So I think they'll be somewhere between there. So I would say right now the standings probably be pretty similar to where they were last year.
I think the problem with the Lions specifically is they are the epitome of where their quarterback goes, so goes the Lions, right? Like, prior to Thanksgiving, the Lions were a team that had an outside shot at making the playoffs. They were at least in the conversation. Matt Stafford goes down with that back injury. The Lions proceed to rattle off 8 straight losses. So, you know, if you can't protect Matt Stafford and keep him upright and in the game, if you're the Lions, you don't have a chance.
No, you don't. And they have addressed a little bit more this offseason, you know, having a capable backup, because they really didn't have that last year. And it certainly showed in those last 8 games. And they're not going to draft a quarterback. I mean, that's pretty much a foregone conclusion now by all reports around here. It looks like it will be a Duoff or whatever his name is, the quarterback from Ohio State. You know, they could possibly have some teams trade up for that 3 spot, you know, if they wanted to get one of those quarterbacks. But, you know, Matt Stafford's the guy, and he's going to be the guy at least for the next few years because of that contract. So, you know, with Detroit, you just never know. Obviously, defensively, they're going to, you know, be at a loss a bit as far as their defense, losing a couple players, including a very good cornerback, as you know. So with Detroit, my expectations are low, and usually they meet those expectations every single year.
Meet or exceed the low expectations. Well, let's start out with the Chicago Bears. You mentioned the fact that they have added Nick Foles. They also have added Jimmy Graham. The problem is they need almost an entire offensive line, averaging 3.7 yards per rush last season. And again, much like with the Lions, if you can't keep, I don't care if you have Nick Foles, I don't care if you have Mitch Trubisky, I don't care if you have Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Jesus himself as a quarterback, if you can't keep them upright, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you have back there.
No, it doesn't, and I believe the Bears don't have a first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken,
I think
in this
that
upcoming
is correct.
Draft.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to really find somebody in the later rounds, and they can, because the best players aren't always picked in that first round. But, yeah, right. I think that offensive line certainly needs to be shored up a bit. Their running game has not been as good as they would like, and you can't depend on Trubisky or even Fultz, for that matter, you know, to pass for 40, 50 times a game and expect to win. That's not the Bears' game. They, you know, traditionally they've liked to run the ball, and they've done a good job of that, but like you said, Paul, it starts with the offensive line, and so I would expect that, you know, with their first pick, I believe in the second round, they probably will go that route and try to build around that player and possibly make some additions in later rounds of the draft, because they certainly need it up front.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You mentioned the Lions. Cornerback seems to be where they're going to go. They did add Desmond Trufant and Duran Harmon and Jayron Kearse, so they've addressed a little bit of the needs in the secondary. I don't know if those guys are difference makers or not. Probably not. But they did also add, Scott, one of my favorite names in all of football, wide receiver Geronimo Allison. You add him in with some of the receiving crew, makes that more dangerous with Matt Stafford out there.
Yeah, and I think that was a very good addition by the Lions, you know, to try to help, obviously, in their receiving core. You know, Danny Amendola did a pretty good job last year, and you still have a pretty good core group there with Marvin Jones Jr. and company. You know, there are some Lions fans around here that would possibly like to see Chase Young drop to that three spot.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, either way, they're going to get a good player, but again, it's the Lions, so I always hold my breath. Their drafts over the past few years have not been exactly stellar.
Mm-hmm.
You can go look at last year's draft and Mr. Hawkinson, who the jury's still out, of course, but, you know, that high of a pick at tight end just was not the right call, in my opinion. So
right.
I think the Lions will be smart in this draft, and I'm really looking at who they get in the later rounds as far as, you know, getting some second-round picks that'll help, you know, with that defensive depth and possibly even getting another first-round pick if a team like Miami or the Chargers or even Jacksonville wants to trade up to try to get that three spot for one of these quarterbacks in a pretty good draft that's filled with very good potential quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Green Bay Packers, I think we're kind of in agreement. It seems like their division to win, it looks like maybe just a couple of spots, D lineman or a linebacker, maybe an offensive lineman. They did lose Brian Beluga, who has been a stalwart for them on the offensive line for quite a few years now. And then maybe just kind of add in like one more wide receiver or tight end. You lose Jimmy Graham. I don't know that the Packers or Seattle really utilized Jimmy Graham to his fullest extent.
No, I don't think so either. And Graham really hasn't been the same since early on in his career down in New Orleans. But you look at Green Bay, they have the 30th pick right now in the draft, again, because of their success last year. And I wouldn't be surprised, as much as they need help on defense. You mentioned wide receiver. You mentioned one of the wide receivers they lost. I would not be surprised if they possibly go for a wide receiver. Looking at the guy I like is Denzel Mims from Baylor. You know, he's projected to go in the first round at late, and I think that might be a good addition for them because, you know, you want to give Rodgers more weapons. But they certainly need help on defense. So I think if there's a good defensive player almost at any position right now for Green Bay, certainly in the secondary, they could certainly use it.
Yeah, good point. The team that a lot of people are buying, Scott, and I have a hard time, of course, being an NFC North guy, the Vikings just, they're not quite the Lions, but they don't lead me to believe that they're going to be successful. And maybe that's Lions bias on my part, but you look at the losses. Stephon Diggs out. They lose Trey Waynes at corner and McLeese Alexander and Xavier Rhodes. They lose a couple of safeties on the back end. Jayron Kearse going to the Lions, one of those safeties. That secondary seems to be depleted, even if it is just from the depth standpoint. I don't know that I'm necessarily buying the Minnesota Vikings the way everybody else is. Where are you at with the Vikings?
Yeah, I'm kind of between you and where a lot of people are at. I still think I can see them as a 9-7, 10-6 team, and with the new playoff format, that certainly has a chance to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they do have two picks in the first round. They have the number 22 and number 25 picks, I believe, and so that could certainly help. With depth, they need help all over the place. You mentioned cornerback. They certainly could use another wide receiver, and they also need some help on the offensive line. And so with wide receivers being a little more deep in this draft, much like Green Bay, I think you could see Minnesota go for a wide receiver in the first round. Justin Jefferson out of LSU, he's one that a lot of people are talking about. Also, wide receiver out of Arizona State. And I mentioned Mims. I think Mims could very well be in the NFC North, could even go to Minnesota. So I think Minnesota is in a good spot because they have two picks in the first round. Any team that has two picks in the first round. But, yeah, I don't see them as contenders to win the NFC, at least at this point.
What are the chances that Minnesota waits and then the time passes by and they don't make their pick and then they pick, like, two picks later? That's happened before. That's a very Minnesota thing to do.
Yes, it is. They tend to throw curveballs sometimes in the draft. But, you know, they had a good season last year. And again, Kirk Cousins, is he worth the money? Well, maybe. He certainly was worth it a little more after last season. But still has a lot of work to do, I think, on both sides of the ball if they're going to be, you know, contending against San Francisco and Green Bay and some of the other halves in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You mentioned San Francisco, and I've made the argument that San Francisco getting to the playoffs in spite of their quarterback. Do you believe that San Francisco can get back to the Super Bowl this coming year with what they currently have, Scott? Or are you in the same vein as me that maybe a one-hit wonder for the 49ers?
You know, with that defense, I don't know. I mean, I think that defense is still, that front four is as good as any, if not the best in the NFL. And I think they need some help on the offensive end. And they have the 13th pick in this upcoming draft and another team that very well could get a wide receiver. You look at Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. You got CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. You got Harry Ruggs out of Alabama, all projected to go in that, you know, 12, 13, 14 spot in this upcoming draft. So you add an addition like that, and with that defense, Garoppolo doesn't have to be that good. You know, he wasn't that great last year, and they got to the Super Bowl. He was certainly good enough to get there and was beaten by Kansas City and that offense. But I don't think they're a one-hit wonder, Paul. I think they're going to be in contention in probably a very good division out there in the NFC West with Seattle and an improving Arizona and a Rams team. Not quite sure where they're at right now, but I don't know. I don't know if they're a one-hit wonder. We're just going to have to find out, I guess, hopefully here in a few months.
That is true. All right, real quick before we let you go, Vegas has released their way too early odds for all teams in the NFL. I'm going to run you through the NFC North. You give me the over-unders, all right? Here we go. Detroit, 6.5.
Under. Not by much, but under.
Green Bay, 8.5.
Over. Take it.
Chicago, 8.5.
Oof. That's a tough one right there. I'm going to say just under.
Okay. Minnesota at 9.
Oof. Push.
Yeah, you're not the first one to take a push on one of those. Scott Nason, where can our listeners get more great sports content from you and the rest of the Game team?
Well, we had the full crew on Monday night show, sequestered from home via the Skype broadcasting medium, and you can find that show and others at the website, thegamesportshow.com.
As always, my man, I appreciate you doing this with us. Look forward to chatting with you again. Now, is there any rumor to the fact that even if the social distancing thing is going on the beginning of August, we're going to say poo-poo to that and still have the wedding of the century?
No, we're still planning the wedding of the century, Paul. Almost 100 days away, if you can believe that.
Wow.
We're hoping to have it. We're certainly looking forward to having it, and we're certainly looking forward to having you be a part of it.
I'm gonna be there. I've been working on my toast. I've got some stories from the Navy days in Europe that I want to tell people about, and I think that there might be a reference to Australia. I'm not sure what that's all about, but you're with me on this. Scott Nason, as always, my man, we appreciate you. Look forward to chatting with you again real soon.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Scott Nason, always a pleasure to have him on the drive.
ESPN Blacksburg, 93.1, 97.1, and ESPNBlacksburg.com.